Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And it is not a funny Red Sox shirt. It is a perfectly normal shirt. Nothing to be funny about the Red Sox. They are kicking butt. And so are the Yankees, for crying out loud. You have a start like the Red Sox had, and then, of course, the Yankees are right there still. What are you going to do? We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And everything we talk about is posted live over to our old-fashioned website at computertalkwithtab.com. And, of course, Facebook. If you like us on Facebook, you go to Tab Computer Systems and like us. It'll go into your news feed if anything we talk about actually is deemed worthy by Mr. Zuckerberg, which is actually becoming more and more of a thing, whether or not Mr. Zuckerberg and Twitter and Facebook allow for news articles to get into certain people's news feeds. So we'll see if our stuff gets there. I mean, it's not that controversial, the stuff we talk about, but you never know. And you can follow us on Twitter at Tab Computer Sys. Same exact information gets out there. So there's some things out there that we want to talk about. Feds are opening a probe into the Bitcoin price manipulation. So basically, Bitcoin is fake money. And it's something that anybody and their brother can mine for. And it has a value of anywhere from $1,800 to $20,000, depending on where you find yourself buying or selling. Curiously, you're probably finding yourself on the low end and somebody else is on the high end. And basically, if you saw the John Oliver thing I posted, John's a pretty funny guy on HBO and did a whole thing on Bitcoin and price manipulation. It's called Pump and Dump. It's been happening for a very long time across all sorts of industries. And now, of course, Bitcoin is finally being looked at because all they're doing is pumping and dumping the fake currency. So if you find yourself losing your money, it's probably because somebody told you to buy something when it was high. And then they sold it and it went low. That's how pump and dump works. And tons of cryptocurrency scams out there. There's tons of news out there where these blockchain wallets are being ripped off. They're stealing all this fake money, which is supposed to not be able to happen, but it does. Constantly, these cryptocurrency banks are being plundered. So. You know, you take your money and there's other ways to make money, guys. You know, the old-fashioned way. What did the guy say? Earn it. this is probably one of the most risky things that you could get involved with, as far as I would consider. But, hey, you know, fooling is money. Or soon parted, and then you get your fake money, your crypto money. So we'll put a link up here to this story, and you can take a look at it. Make of it what you will. What else you got there, Bob? Anything good?
Oh, I got lots of good stuff.
Oh, boy.
Now fixed.
Yeah?
Visa outage disrupted millions of payments in the UK and Europe.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Visa is everywhere you want it to be, but you couldn't do it then.
If you wanted to use your Visa card to pay for something in the UK and Europe on Friday,
yeah,
you may have had to use cash instead.
What is that?
Gosh. Yeah, it kind of slows down the line, you know?
It does. You get these coins coming back at you, too. That's crazy.
Visa announced Friday that it experienced a service disruption, in quotes, that prevented transactions from going through.
Right. For a while, too. For a long enough while, yeah, that it impacted a lot of things.
We are currently experiencing a service disruption, which is preventing some Visa transactions in Europe from being processed.
Right.
We are investigating the cause and working as quickly as possible to resolve the situation.
Right.
We will keep you updated.
And they blamed a hardware issue, right?
Yeah, it's some piece of hardware failed. So
nothing like having redundancy.
As a result, The Guardian reports that millions of people have been unable to pay at shops, gas stations, and train stations across the UK and Europe, to the point that lines reportedly built up at gas stations, and some supermarket customers were forced to leave their items at the register.
Right.
The Financial Times reports that many UK ATMs ran out of money when customers were forced to use cash.
It was like an apocalypse. You had no ability to pay with plastic, and there's not enough cash anywhere. Everything came to a halt, all because of one piece of hardware. You know, the cloud is supposed to be a little more resilient, huh? How can Visa have such a, a system that is susceptible to one hardware failure?
So a Visa spokesperson tells CNET the issue was due to a hardware failure.
Yeah.
We have no reason to believe this was associated with any unauthorized access or malicious event.
Somebody flipped the wrong switch.
Maybe they pulled the plug, you know, with the vacuum cleaner.
Well, we've seen that before, right? We had other stories where, like, entire airports go down or entire air ticketing systems go down because some ding-a-ling rebooted a switch or some sort of router. You really shouldn't have one point of failure.
Oh, well.
It's Visa, for crying out loud. It's supposed to be everywhere you want to be.
You're dealing with a multi-million dollar business. You know, a single point of failure.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, well, maybe, I guess. So at 2:20 p.m., Visa says you should be able to use your card now.
Mm.
The company said seen at the following statement.
Yeah.
Earlier today, Visa had a system failure that infected customers across Europe.
Yep.
Our goal is to ensure all Visa cards work reliable 24 hours a day, 65 days a year.
65?
365 days a year. Well, we fell well short of this goal today, and we apologize to all of our partners and most especially to Visa cardholders.
Everything's great with the 99.99 until it's that one little decimal point there that you get nailed with.
Well, you know, it only takes a few minutes to get down below the 0.9.
Oh, yeah.
It's out of a whole year. I mean, it drops fast.
Well, at least they're back up and running, and I'm sure they replaced that one piece of hardware. Now they got some guy probably just standing there, keeping an eye on that thing.
See, if you had a MasterCard, you weren't affected.
Right. Well, you should definitely.
Or American Express.
Right. Don't leave home without. So what else you got, Bob?
AT&T ditches court fight challenging FTC's authority over broadband.
FCC or FTC?
FTC.
Federal Trade?
Right.
Or FCC?
Because under the rules, okay, net neutrality rules.
Yeah.
Okay. They were under the authority of the FTC.
Okay.
But because they were a telephone provider, they were under the authority of the FCC.
Okay.
So AT&T sued to say that you don't have any say over us because we're regulated by the FCC.
Gotcha. And they decided not to fight that.
So they lost that court battle.
Yeah.
And they were going to take it to the Supreme Court, but they had until May 29th, which was, 2 days ago?
Right.
And they decided that they weren't going to spend any more money fighting it.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens with net neutrality.
We'll post a link to that.
We've already had the discussion about what we did here in Connecticut with Pura and how it decided to make it more difficult for municipalities to put up their own internet services, even though Pura, if you look at their actual website here in Connecticut, under the state of Connecticut, they actually say specifically that they're not supposed to deal with any price regulation for internet. But of course, they were able to stick their nose in this to the point where they're still going to affect us, because if you can't have municipal internet to compete against the incumbents, you're never going to get a lower price.
Well, you know, when we have people influencing lobbyists, what have you, you know, you can't expect us to really stick to the letter of the law. We have to go with the spirit of the law.
Yeah, exactly. I hope our legislature, because believe it or not, this one actually tried to specifically say that the municipal gain area of the pole can be used for any purpose by the municipality. They actually specified it, and Pura decided to ignore that specification put forth by our legislators here in the state of Connecticut. So I hope they actually take that as a smack in the face as legislators, because they thumbed their nose at you guys, and you should literally start looking at laws to allow for more competition and removing costs to get on these poles. You need pole neutrality, open free access to the pole, That'll solve our problem, guys. If everyone has open and free access to polls with poll neutrality, you will have internet prices that will go down rapidly when you see competition.
But if that law is written, and you know, read as written, they already have that.
They do. But
just Pura, the regulatory agency says no.
Pura, well, they only have poll neutrality for the municipality, but let's make it available to everybody. I mean, you need, if you want to improve competition, which is what we need to lower our internet costs.
Oh, we can't have that.
Yes, we're still revolutionary. We're still revolutionary times here in Connecticut. So go ahead.
Okay. For all you photography people out there.
Yes.
Okay. And those of you that believe that film is still superior to digital.
Mm.
I have bad news.
Oh, no. Another one bites the dust.
Canon just stopped selling its last film camera.
Mm.
The Canon EOS-1V was the last of a dying breed.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's officially done with film. The camera maker just announced that it's ending sales of its last film camera, the EOS-1V.
Yep.
In 2006, mind you,
mm-hmm.
reports said that Canon was ending production of all film cameras, but the company never officially confirmed this.
Okay.
Instead, Canon quietly stopped making them.
All right.
The EOS-1V is a 35mm SLR, single lens reflex camera, that released in 2000. Since Canon reportedly stopped making the EOS-1V in 2010, it's likely Canon still had a few units in stock that it was selling. Well, this is 2018, so there must have been quite a few.
They're like, man, we got to move these things. They're not selling real fast.
Today's announcement marks the end of that.
Okay.
Right? At the very least, Canon says it will continue repairing the EOS-1V until October 31st.
Repairing it?
Oh,
boy.
Until October 21st, 2025. But it also adds that it may refuse repair after October 31st, 2020.
Oh, boy.
5 years earlier. It's two years from now.
Yeah.
Due to lack of replacement parts.
Which they're the ones that provide them.
So if you already have the camera, you'll still be able to get it fixed for now. Just don't get your hopes up for buying a new one.
Don't drop it either. Don't drop it. Yeah, film. I haven't touched film. I'm so happy that film went away. My wife, when we were younger, she would have to always get doubles. You know, she would take the roll of film and always pay for the doubles. And the amount of money it cost to get your pictures processed, and you only had like six good pictures out of all these pictures, all this film everywhere. Digital is the best. I mean, I can't believe it's still sticking around. They predicted the end of the PC. When we started the show back in 1995, they were predicting the end of the personal computer the moment a laptop came out. And how long did it take for the film to finally go away? It's been predicted for forever because there are people who love film. And I'm sure there's great folks out there that will call in and say, I still love using film. That's great. But you're going to have less and less ability to do so.
If they want a film camera, they better go out and buy it now.
If you need to upgrade. Anything else you want to bring up, Bob? Well, we got to go to a break because Matt's going to give me a hard time in a minute. So let's feel free to get on the lines. We have three lines open, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Ellen, hang on. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you. I know it's a beautiful Saturday morning. We haven't had too many of those in a long time. But we're here to try to help you out with your computer problems, questions, or concerns. So feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out. Let's go to Ellen in Coventry first. Good morning, Ellen.
Hi. I have a Gateway i3 running Windows 8, which is 4 years old.
Okay.
And I get this message, your computer is low on memory. To restore enough memory to work correctly, save your files and then close or restart all open programs.
Mm-hmm.
Every night I shut down my computer. I don't know how this happened.
Well, there's something. You've got too many background applications running for this little i3 to handle. and it's probably that you only have maybe 4 gigs of RAM, if I had to guess. Do you know how much RAM you have? How much memory? You have 6 gigs?
Yeah, it says 6 gigs, 5.87 usable.
Yeah, so you're, 5.87 usable. So you've got 6 gigs of RAM, and somehow in the background, you're consuming all that RAM, and the machine is saying, "Hey, help me, free this up."
So if you right click on your taskbar down at the bottom, you should get a menu. Open your task manager, and
Wait a minute, slow down. I'm not very good at computers.
That's okay.
I right clicked on the bottom thing. Okay.
Yep, that's your taskbar.
Yes. Task manager.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Click
open,
on task manager.
Yep,
is that what
open
said?
That up.
Okay. Okay. Now I have the task manager.
And then it should give you. You should see some columns in there, and it'll. You can kind of sort by what's using up your memory. One of the tabs should be memory.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then you can see how much memory is being used and what's using it.
Right okay. now, based on what you said, you probably have very little memory used, correct?
It says 17% memory.
Yeah, so you're completely free right now. So that you don't have that pop-up message right now, do you?
No.
Okay. Over time, you get it.
Yeah,
so
more than once.
Oh, yeah.
When you get that message, if you open the task manager, you can see what application is using up all your memory.
When you so before you reboot, because that'll clear it, obviously, rebooting it, but you want to figure out what's causing it. And then if you see the culprit, where you've got one that's really cranking up the usage, you can ask yourself, well, geez, is that a program that's something I want to run, or can I end that process so that I can keep using my machine without having to reboot?
Or maybe it's some program you installed that you really didn't need, and then you can just uninstall it and get rid of it and fix the problem.
Right, or it's malicious. Where you have some sort of background process or malware chewing up your resources, because 6 gigs of RAM is not a good amount of RAM. So whatever you're doing in the background there is consuming it all for whatever reason, and so you have to figure that out when it happens, Ellen. So right.
Oh, I see. But how do I sort this by? I think Bob just said.
Just click on the column.
Sort it so. Click on the column.
Yeah, up at the top. It's kind of like a spreadsheet, so if you kind of click on the title bar of that column that says listed memory,
show you what's going. Okay, it says service host, local system, something or other,
right?
56.4 MB. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, so you're barely using anything. Your percentage is only 17%, you said, right? So your problem is not occurring.
Right at this very moment.
Correct.
So, oh, I see. I have to do this. When the message comes up.
There you go. And then you'll get a clue as to what's causing it.
Because I'm not a strong computer user.
That's okay.
You know, I just use Word, like an expensive typewriter, you know?
I hear you. Yeah. And if you're renting it for $365, it's even more expensive.
And I don't use the internet, so you can't really, if I don't use the internet, it can't be a malware, right?
Yeah, you don't use the internet, huh? That's pretty interesting. That's cool. That's rare.
Oh, no, not on this computer.
Oh, I see.
Because this computer is where I have my files, my Word, my 6,000 Word files.
Yeah.
And no matter how good your virus protection is, you can always get a virus. So I only use my other computers for just the internet.
All right. Do you have this computer backed up somehow?
I have all my computers backed up, yeah.
Awesome. Good.
Not as often as I should, but at least once a week.
Very good, Ellen. Yeah, so you've got a good plan there. Right-click when you have that message, and you'll try to see what the culprit is causing your memory usage. It simply could be that you do need an update. If you've never been on the internet for a while, that machine has not been updated.
It's never been updated.
Yeah, so updating it might be a good idea, and that might...
Now, my computer with the internet, I let it update whenever it asks to.
Right.
And I hate every time they update it, more problems happen. It's horrible.
I know.
That's why I don't even want to update this computer.
Okay.
This computer always works good.
That's fine.
My Windows 10 computer with the internet, after the last update, the screen goes black.
Yep, that's a known bug. That's a known bug with Microsoft. Ellen, it's the year 2018, and Microsoft hasn't gotten it right yet. So I hear you, Ellen. Hope this helps you, though. We got to go to a hard break.
Thank you.
You're welcome. When your memory problem happens, go and find out when it's occurring. Right-click in that taskbar. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Stick around, everybody. We got 3 lines open for you. Feel free to get online. Listen to that all day. One of my favorite tunes. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and everybody wants to rule the world, so why not just have your own theme song? That, you know, Google says they're not going to do more. They're not going to do more evil anymore. They're taking that right out of their motto of do no evil. It's gone.
So that means that
they want to rule.
Not
the world.
That they're not going to do more any
right,
evil
right.
anymore.
Right, right. They're not going to say they're not going to do it anymore.
They're just not going to claim. Yeah.
Let's get back to your calls. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to go to Janet in Farmington first. Morning, Janet.
Oh, good morning.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
I have a laptop, a Lenovo mm-hmm. a Yoga.
Yep.
And it's the default browser is Microsoft Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard you say you shouldn't use that.
Yeah, anything but any Microsoft browser, you should use any. Like, you could use Google Chrome, you could use Mozilla Firefox, but stay away from the Microsoft browsers. They're still not that good.
Okay, so I've been trying, you know, I have Google on there. I have a little button at the bottom that I click and go to.
Yeah, a little beach ball?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, right. Never thought of that. And, but my home screen is, you know, this nice page that has little different size rectangles and squares that, you know, if you click, you know, they flip and say what your email is and your calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So all that's Microsoft Edge, I guess, because if I click on anything there, I end up in Microsoft Edge.
Because I think your browser is still set as the default. You want to set your Chrome as the default.
So, and then but isn't that Microsoft Edge, like, fun things, or is that my Lenovo?
That's probably Windows 10's Metro, that front screen there is the Windows 10 Metro screen there that they're showing you all those different updates.
The other thing is, when you install an alternate browser like Mozilla or Google Chrome, it doesn't show up in your menu tiles. You have to right-click and click
and put it there.
Yeah, I show it in the menu.
So I have my menu, which it's all apps that I'm in,
mm-hmm.
and I have most used Google Chrome.
Yeah.
And I have it listed as one of the things.
Yeah.
But
we want to have you set it as your default.
Okay. So
doesn't it ask you every time you run, would you like to set me as your default?
Not every time. Well, lots of times we don't shut it off.
Well, we want you to set your Chrome as the default browser, and that should solve your other issue. When you click on those tiles, it should bring up those pages as Chrome pages rather than Edge pages.
Okay, so I don't have to remove Edge or anything.
No, it probably would be more trouble than it's worth.
Okay.
Just set your Chrome browser as a default browser, and you'll be all set.
So is there a way to do that in my settings? I think there is, isn't there?
Where is that, Bob, as to how to set that browser default?
Basically, you go into
Lenovo settings.
No.
Go into your control panel.
Oh boy!
Oh right.
You want to find the file extension HTM, and choose Open With, and choose Google Chrome or Mozilla Firefox.
Well, there might be an easier way too. You can go ahead and navigate to your settings, and you go to the Start menu, select System. Default apps, and then you can actually choose the we'll put a link up there for you. You can actually choose under the browser heading, you can just select the different browser. Rather than having Edge, you can select Chrome.
Okay.
But Bob's way will work too, but they've made it easier to change the default than making it
it's probably
extension.
100 ways of changing it.
But. Oh, yeah.
I have my apps and features, and I selected the default.
Mm-hmm.
But there's Microsoft Edge.
Yeah, you want to change that to be Chrome.
So I would push on select choose default apps by file type.
Well, that's the way Bob's got you doing it, yeah. But you should be able to choose the default apps in the left page. If you go to the Select System under the Start menu, then you click on System, and then you're going to click on Default Apps.
Okay.
And then you can choose under the Web Browser heading, you're going to choose the app you want to set, which in this case would be Chrome if you want to, or Firefox, whatever one you want to set.
All right. So those are equally as good.
I think Chrome's better right now. Although, I'll put it this way. Firefox did have the new version that came out, and they're neck and neck. So you're looking for speed, right? And you want a nice fast browser, and Firefox had been getting slow and slower and slower, and Chrome was beating them. But then they came out with a new flavor of Firefox, and it's much faster. So whichever one you pick between Chrome and Firefox, I think you're going to get great performance nowadays.
Okay.
So whichever you're used to is fine.
All right.
All right,
okay.
Jane.
That's good. And I have one other thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a list.
We have time.
Okay, so I use Yahoo.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know if you know, like, my daughter was home and she was using my, you know, nice little laptop here for Pinterest and all these other things. And next thing I knew, and I don't know if it was synchronized with an app update from Microsoft or what, but I no longer, if I click on the left, get a nice, long, skinny list of my settings and apps and all that. They're scattered all over the page. And now when I open something in Yahoo, an attachment, it's like in the same screen. And I want it to be in a new screen. I say it doesn't give me the option to open in a new screen.
When you're in Yahoo, when you're in the browser?
Yeah, when I'm in my Yahoo Mail, and I have a Yahoo Mail with an attachment, it opens up in the
screen.
Yeah, and try to print it. Oh my God, it's just like the big runaround trying to do that.
Well, so the browser is different than the operating system. So you've got two things going on there. The browser is going to handle whatever Yahoo is doing. I don't use Yahoo Mail. Maybe it's a preference change. It should allow you to open things up in a separate screen. I just don't know. I don't know where within that individual config. Would you know, Bob, as to where to set that preference where you open that attachment in a separate screen?
Unless you right-click on the thing and choose open with.
Right. Yeah. Have you done that or no?
Yeah, I've tried.
And it stays within the single browser.
And it gets, you know, then things get smaller, like... Both pages are on the screen at the same time.
And that's with the Chrome browser?
Either one. Microsoft Edge, you can't even figure out what Yahoo's doing. But at least if I go into Chrome, then my Yahoo looks normal.
I wish I had more experience with what you're seeing to be able to say, oh, yeah, Jenna, just right-click here. But it should give you the ability to execute a separate window when you're opening it up. It shouldn't be stuck in the same window. I just don't really understand what you're seeing or why it would do that to you without doing a little more research to see if it's happening to other people. I would suggest you try a different browser like Firefox to see if it reacts the same way. And then if it does, it really turns out to be it's a Yahoo setting of some kind where you would have to go into the Yahoo preferences and that somehow must have changed and say open with new pane. I think a lot of them offer you the ability to keep it in the same pane or open a new pane. Why they wouldn't want you to do a new pane by default is beyond me. I like working that way too.
Yeah.
But I bet you if it's happening in multiple browsers, it's a Yahoo setting that you're stuck with that you need to change within their preferences.
Okay.
That's where I would look and see if you can open up new pages or set that within their preferences.
All right. Okay.
And you understand Yahoo is, you know, did you check off the oath to say that they can read your mail?
Well, they made me.
They made you? They didn't make you. They asked you, and you're like, okay.
I know, but otherwise they wouldn't let me get to my mail.
Well, doesn't that seem crazy?
Yeah.
We get to read your mail. If you would like to keep working with us, say it's okay, and you're like, okay.
Well, I worry if I use my, you know, whatever it is for my internet, if I change companies, if they're going to, you know... Then I have a problem getting to my email.
Yeah, I hear you, but you understand that Yahoo has been purchased by Verizon, so that could change tomorrow. It could be instead of being at Yahoo, it could be at Verizon, and now your mailbox is going to change. I have an example of somebody I know whose AT&T account went away. She had an SNET account from way back, and AT&T just decided to close it on her. And she had everything connected to her life with this SNET account.
No warning.
No warning. Just stopped working. The cloud just said, bye-bye. And so it can happen today.
But if you change your email, then you, all your files and everything, you have to move them over.
Your email files? Well, if you have your email on a local mail client, you can download those to your machine, and then you don't have to worry about it. Right now, you're doing everything through the cloud. You're keeping it in the in your browser. But tomorrow, Yahoo could delete all your mail and say, you know what, Janet, we're cleaning up. We need some space, and your mail's gone. They have no reason to hang on to it for you, right?
Okay.
There's not they pinky swore that they might, but they didn't. They don't have to. So if you really want to make sure you have your mail, download it to your machine through a mail app like Outlook.
Sounds
complicated. I know. Sorry.
Oh gosh! And now you're going to start talking about backup or something.
I might. Yeah, so there's a false sense of security you got going there.
Okay.
So keep that in mind when you're on the cloud. It's always temporary.
Now when I have my apps and I in my default and Microsoft Edge is in there, do I have to take that out of there?
You want the default to be Chrome, not Edge. Yes, that's what you got to do.
So I got to slide it out or delete it from there. It'll still be somewhere on the machine, I guess.
You know, another thing, when you open your browser, it should ask you if you want to make Chrome or Edge or whatever your default browser.
And it'll do it for you.
Yeah, and then you can just click yes.
So I would close everything and then...
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Janet.
All right, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. Sarah and Meriden, hang on. Three lines open for you on this lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we've got Sarah and Meriden on the line. She's been online the longest. Let's go to Sarah first. Hey, Sarah, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm hoping that you can find an alternative for me.
Okay.
Presently, I have Microsoft Office 365 on my computer,
mm-hmm.
which I needed for someone I was doing some work from home for. It's mm-hmm. going to come up for renewal, and I personally don't need it.
Yep.
But my problem is that in Outlook, I want to keep some of the, you know, I have folders set up, and I want to keep some of the emails that are in those folders.
Okay.
And I can't seem to find another desktop application that will let me import the PST file.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Bob.
You have to export your... all your mail out to a CSV, and then you can import it into another mail client.
So you're exporting it first, then going to import it into what, maybe OpenOffice?
You can import it, yeah, OpenOffice, or, you know, there's a number of other mail clients that you can use. But the first thing you have to do is you have to export everything. So when we're migrating, let's say, from one version of Outlook to another, we might export it to a PST because it's in the same file format.
Right.
But if we're exporting it to some other third-party app, you know, a mail client, then we'll export it as a CSV.
Different type of file, more friendly, and then you're going to import it into that new mail client. And we've talked about OpenOffice before, so it's a free alternative to Outlook. The other idea is to just go buy Outlook once. The thing about 365 is they get to rent it to you forever.
Right.
And that just is silly to me as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So you can just buy it.
Okay. Yeah, it's like $100 though, isn't it?
Well, the renewal can be for businesses $150 a year.
Yeah, well, this wasn't that because it was just, you know, me working for one individual from home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they paid for it, so I wasn't really concerned about that. But
until now.
You know,
Now it's going to disappear, or you got to pay forever. And,
exactly.
Yeah. So check.
And I went online, and I couldn't find anything that would accept the PST file. So you're saying when you go into Outlook and you go to export,
correct.
You're going to give me a choice?
Yep.
Okay.
And what you should do first, though, Sarah, is find alternatives to Outlook, like we talked about, OpenOffice maybe, And then look at what they want to import, how they want to import that file. They might say they'll take a PSD, or they might say they'll take a CSV, like Bob is saying. So before you export it, know what you need for the imported side. So choose your tool first, understand what it needs to take in, and then export it out that way.
Okay. And I didn't know OpenOffice had an email client. That's good.
I'm 99.9% sure they do. I'd be crazy if I'm hopeful I'm not wrong.
Oh, no, I believe you. I just, you know.
Well, now you're making me. I think they do. Right? They do, right, Bob?
I think so. Yeah. It's been a while.
You're making me wonder.
Well, I haven't used it because we use
Office.
We're
a Microsoft product house. But eventually we're all going to have more choices because I contend that we're all going to get sick of renting it from Microsoft. We're all going to be looking for alternatives. OpenOffice is out there. I'll double check to make sure it has an email client. If not, there's another one called Thunderbird, and that's by Mozilla Firefox.
Yeah, I tried that. That was a mess.
Can't all be the same as Outlook, because Outlook does have a good product.
Yeah, or you can. That was a real mess. That was the only one I could find, and that did not go well at all.
Or, again, you can just consider buying Outlook once and calling it a day.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and we're double checking here because it may not have OpenOffice may not have a mail client for you. So we have to maybe find another alternative for you besides it. I would have thought they would have, but maybe they don't. Any other ones that you can think of, Bob?
Not off the top of my head. Thunderbird was pretty much it, and that one's pretty common.
It is pretty common. What didn't you like about it, Sarah? Just curious.
Well, maybe it's because of the way I did it, but it said that you had to download an older version and then import your PST file, and then you could upgrade. Well, when I did that, what it imported was, it was just a mess. I can't even describe it to you.
Okay.
You know? It was just a mess.
All right. Well, let's see if we can find some other alternatives, and maybe some other folks out there can give us some alternatives that they've used. To Outlook. Again, most people use Outlook because of it's just ubiquitous out there. So what are you going to do? But we'll try to find some alternatives for you, Sarah.
I appreciate it very much. I'll keep listening.
Our pleasure.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. If you have an alternative mail client that you use, that you like, that it's not Thunderbird, because Sarah hates Thunderbird. I don't blame her. If you don't like your tool, you don't want to be forced to use it. Let us know. And we'll put a link up there for you as an alternative to Outlook because, again, she doesn't want to rent it forever. She's done. But she wants to keep some of her data. Yes, she can export her mail, but she wants to have it in a readable format so it's ready to go if she ever wanted to look it up again. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Four lines open on this lovely Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I wanted to bring up a quick email or news article here. That I wanted to bring up last week, but I didn't get a chance to. There's a phone monitoring app that you might use to monitor your teen. And it's a fairly popular app. It's called TeenSafe. And the problem was, though, a server that stored the teenager's information kept all the information wide open. It kept their email, their Apple ID email address and plain text passwords wide open. So thousands of Apple IDs and passwords were leaked. It talks about being a secure monitoring app for Apple and Android, but it left it wide open. This is a California-based company, and it was hosted, of course. Where do you think it was hosted? Of course, in the Amazon cloud, and unprotected, accessible by anyone without a password. This is ridiculous. This is getting to be a huge problem. And Amazon, I recommend you guys need to help us with this because whoever's out there using your AWS cloud, they don't know what the heck they're doing. And clearly, because they're leaving this stuff wide open, we'll put a link up here for you. If you use TeenSafe, you may want to change your passwords for your Apple IDs because a lot of your stuff has been left out there wide open and you don't want to find anything out there that you wouldn't want to have access to. So we're going to take a quick break. Feel free to get online. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.